My guest today is Daryl Miller. He is with the Southern California Veterans Coalition. That's a group that started with a couple of veterans just hanging out, having a good time, and then from there it kind of blew into a big movement in that region. So they bring in a bunch of speakers, they explore things like cannabis, alternative medications, yoga, meditation, things of that nature, anything and everything that might help veterans lead better lives in a more positive manner. That's what these guys are all about. So check them out on social media by searching SoCal Veterans Coalition.
All right, Daryl, thanks for meeting with me today, man. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity, you know. It's kind of like a lot of logistics to get a workout between schedules, but I appreciate it also.
Yep. No, I hear you, man. I mean, I got grandma upstairs, so she's watching the little ones right now, and they got some Aladdin on or something. So yeah, I've got a little window here, but I wanted to give you a shout and thanks for being flexible.
No, always. Like I said, I'm the same way, man. My wife took my two boys out to a birthday party. My 18-year-old's up there doing whatever 18-year-olds do. So we're good. We're golden.
Yeah. So you are SoCal Veterans Coalition, right? That's the name of your group?
Yes, it is. Southern California Veterans Coalition or SoCal Veterans Coalition.
All right, cool. So you want to just kind of tell me about what it is that you guys do with that organization?
Yeah, basically where we are, I give you a little rundown. It's easier to explain with a little bit of the history of it and what's behind it. Is I'd say a couple of years ago, we're in California. We're obviously based out of Southern California. And personally, a few years ago, I was going through some personal stuff, falling into depression. I was hooked on opioids and, you know, the whole kind of story we get from a lot of our fellow veterans. And was at a real low spot, let's say, in my life personally. And one day we're watching, me and my wife, who's a registered nurse, she's been an ER nurse for like 20 years. We're watching like something on Vice, and they were talking about how veterans were starting to use cannabis as substitute for, you know, opioids, and how it was affecting them in a positive manner, where it was opening them up and it was getting, help them get off pills and just kind of open their mind to the world kind of around them. And I have tried everything. I've gone 10 years. I'm a little different as I'm a little bit older. So I've gone like for 10 years without doing anything, no help, nothing from the VA. Cause when I first came back from Iraq, they put me on that cocktail, you know, and I didn't know what was going on or anything like that. I'd go to work and get in fights at work because I'm like, what are you guys doing in my office? And they're like, yo, you've been at work for like 5 hours. So I was just like, all right, I'm done with all that. So going through the 10 years dealing with it, you know, you run into all the other issues. But my main issue besides with the PTSD was insomnia. Like, I do not sleep. So one day after probably, I think I was like up for 8 days, my wife came to me and like our relationship was good. And she's like, look, if you don't do something about this not sleeping, I'm taking the boys and I'm just leaving. Like, we can't deal with not knowing what Daryl we're going to get out of this. You know, every morning we don't know what we're going to get. So we're watching something on TV, and next thing I know, my phone rang, and it was like one of those rec doctors for a cannabis rec here in California for medical. So she set all that up. I tried it that night, and I just like a, you know, like the normal person, I was inside the house, like I was in high school again, all paranoid, and it actually helped me sleep that night. Well, long story short is, I started to do research on it, on how it works and what kind of veterans and how veterans are using it, and I happened to go on Instagram, which I knew nothing about, and I saw a group of veterans that were just getting together, medicating, you know, and they just seemed like they had some kind of bond. They had that bond back. So I reached out to them. It took about a couple months, and I finally built up the confidence to go to like a barbecue. I sat outside the house for 2 hours without going in there, you know, that whole anxiety and like that. And then like, here I am at, how old was that? It's a couple years ago. So like, you know, up, I'm 42, so I'm like 38, 39 years old. And I have that stigma, like, oh, I'm smoking weed again and all this stuff. And well, I walked in that backyard, and as soon as I walked back there, everything just lifted from me. It felt like I was home. I was around other people that were going through the same type of thing I was going through. Everyone was happy. Everyone was talking. And I thought, well, shoot, man, there's something, there's got to be something to this. So they, one, another veteran that was there was trying to start an organization, a chapter of another organization that's nationally known that advocates for cannabis use for veterans. So I kind of got on board with them and helped start that chapter. So things went on after the year, and we didn't really like exactly how the main chapter was handling stuff, but their how they did stuff. You know what I'm saying? It was just conflicting kind of ideologies. So we split off and started Southern California Veterans Coalition. Now at this point, I was just a member of the board, one of the founding people. I wasn't president of the other group, anything like that. When we switched it over, the president just quit. He was done with everything. So I kind of fell into that role of like, all right, well, we got stuff planned. Let's keep it kind of organized. And I kind of adopted it, or I kind of inherited it, and then was able, with help of some original members, kind of contoured a little bit more, where it wasn't so much based on, yes, let's go out somewhere and let's all get together and use cannabis together. And if we can, give donations out to them so they're covered. It kind of clicked on us, especially it resonated real hard with me, was it was just amazing how we can get 20. I mean, we started off with 5 veterans, and we slowly were building up how we get a bunch of guys and women come out who always feel, first they feel isolated because they're dealing with mental health aspects. They're dealing with PTSD. The family members don't always get us. There's no place where we as a community feel like we can just breathe and be ourselves. And with the and you have also the stigma where they've tried all the other medications and everything the VA or the doctor's been giving them, and it hasn't been working. And now they're using cannabis, either it be CBD, THC, and they feel like I felt on the side of my house, like I'm 17 hiding from my parents type thing. When in the state we're in, it's medically legal. No one's breaking any laws. No one's doing anything like that. So once you can kind of get everyone together and they just feel safe, they can feel open, it opens up that pathway where it's like, all right, I can breathe. All right, well, hey, what are you going through? I'm going through this. Holy crap, that's the same thing I'm going through. How do you deal with it? So we realize, all right, now that we got the guys coming out and the women coming out and being part of this and they feel safe, well, and we got their attention, let's start bringing in some educational, some resources, some outreach programs. So we started off slow. We started bringing in some experts or professionals that know about, say, CBD and how it reacts on the body and how it could be used properly. Started with bringing in that. They give a 15, 20-minute block of information on that. Then we were like, all right, well, that's working. People are very engaged. They want to know this information. So we started going off the one or two kind of like, I don't want to call them lectures. I don't want to call them classes. They're non-formal, but we want to bring in experts or people that can relate or understand what we as veterans, and not just the veterans, our spouses, our family members, our caretakers, anybody in our support structure that we have can get any kind of information to make as a community each other's lives better each day, help them push through each day. So we kind of jumped on that camaraderie feeling and doing that. And like I said, it's been a trip, man. I always say we get as much healing as and help as back as we are trying to provide for other people. So like we've had like NAMI, the National Mental Health Group, come out and speak. We've had national veterans groups come out. We've done guided meditation. You name it. If it's going to help give a veteran or anybody that kind of help, that just get them over that hump throughout their day, some kind of tool or resource, we are all about it. So that started. And then our largest meeting that we had, we try to do them once a month, but it all depends, especially we're a charity working on getting enough money to get our nonprofit, So when we have the fund, which is usually paid by board members or myself, and some donations, individual donations, is we try to do this at least once a month to break that at least one day out of the month where everyone knows, hey, I don't have to sit in my house. I'm going to be able to go out, see a bunch of friends and people that understand me, and hopefully get some education. If we're able to, through donations, give them organic medicines and stuff like that. So they're not forced, or they feel obligated that the middle of the month or the end of the month, they have no choice but to go back into taking their opioids and stuff like that, you know? Yeah. But the main thing that we preach is, or not preach, I don't want to say preach, sorry about that. Our main thing is basically healing through communication, education, and socialization as a veteran community. Like, who, we can't always rely on everybody else to fall back on for that help or that guidance, but we should be able to fall back on one of our brothers and sisters, you know, because they can relate, they can understand. And, you know, and it's just try to build that broad-based community where just, you know, honestly, just end the suicide bullcrap. Yeah. That's the main thing, man. It's just, you know, it's just, life's too short, and I'm one of those people. I'm a suicide attempt survivor. You know what I mean? I have suicidal ideologies. I have PTSD, insomnia, and all that stuff. And it's just stuff that seemed to work for me and people that are close to me. We just kind of implement back out there, saying if it worked for us, it might work for you. We're not pushy. People could come out to anything we do. They don't have to use cannabis. They don't even have to like it. We don't care. As long as you're understanding that some people, that's what they choose to use, but come out, be part of the community. And it's just, it's done great things. I mean, I can honestly say it's probably saved my life, you know, just being involved in this kind of stuff.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. That's an awesome story. Thanks for sharing that. So your group, how many active members do you have now?
Right now, how we do it is we have on our roster, we have over 200 veterans. Now how we base activity is by how we do we throw our events. Like I said before, it used to be every month, but life catches up with people. As of right now, a couple of our board members had personal stuff pop in, so it's just me kind of keeping the boat going and running this at the moment. But like I said, so we have 200, and out of the 200 people on our roster, each one of them at least come to one or two events. It might not be all at once. We've had meetings where we've had anywhere from 18 people to our largest event. We had 75 to 80 people at them, you know? So it kind of goes with the times and what people have going on. We've also done courses and workshops like gardening or horticulture classes. People want to learn how to grow, like be self-reliant and grow their own cannabis. Not even that, just learn how to grow vegetables or anything like that. We partnered with the hydroponics store in Torrance, who's, they hold classes and they let us use the area. I get kind of really excited when I talk about it, you know. You're just a real quiet guy, you know, but yeah. If we don't know it or we can't help you with it, we're trying to build a coalition of people that we trust. We're like, oh, I don't know anything about that, but hold on, let me send you to these people, and they might be able to square you away. And if they don't, they can send you to somebody else, and they might just square it away. It's trying to build that sense of community again, you know, that camaraderie where you know you're not out there alone. Veteran or no veteran, when it comes to mental health issues and stuff, you may feel like you're alone. I feel like I'm alone all the time, but you're not alone, you know. Just that's what we're trying to do. We try to work with all types, non-cannabis related, veteran nonprofits. We've done homeless outreaches here and there. We just try to fill into the community to break the stigma of both broken veteran stigma, mental health stigma, people that choose to heal holistically stigma, you know, just show them that, hey, no, this is what we do to get to a level so we can reintegrate back into our society. We can be a better parent. We can be a better spouse. I'm 42 and I'm about to transfer. I've gone to school the last 2 years. I would have never thought I'd go to school for psychology to be a therapist ever. You know what I mean? But when you open up new ways to do stuff and you accept it, you're able to make those changes. And, you know, and like, I like to tell people is like, don't do what I say. Don't do what I do. I'm like my worst critic, you know, but it also, it makes all kind of be accountable to one another in a way.
No, definitely, man. That sounds like a really awesome thing. And if I didn't live halfway across the country, I'd come hang out with you guys. But we need something like that in every major city, you know, and there's the American Legion and there's the VFW. Do you associate with them at all, or is this independent of that?
No, absolutely. Actually, one of, on a personal level, one of, when I kind of took this over and kind of rebranded it and founded the new version of it, one of my main goals was to break that wall, that barrier between the iconic, you know, BFWs and American Legion. And actually, a year and a half ago, we were the first cannabis veterans group to hold a medicated meeting at an American Legion. And so we were able to break that barrier with the American Legion. They're an awesome American Legion. They're very supportive. And then we were able to turn that into where we partnered up. A lot of people are having trouble getting BFWs, especially to jump on board with the whole natural healing, the cannabis, CBD type mission. And we actually partnered, we're the first ones again, once again, to get do the same thing with the VFW. In fact, our home base and one of our partners is BFW 8680. It's out here in Rancho Cucamonga in California. And we hold all our events there now. They're major supporters. They've had a Super Bowl party where they want us to come in and give like a little education to all their veterans about, you know, there's other things out there. There's cannabis, there's all that kind of stuff. So we're able to bring in a company to come in, and they walked around and talked to everybody and gave them, you know, gave them tidbits and stuff. And it's been a great partnership. I mean, it's, and that's one thing that we're really proud of, is that we're able to break that kind of barrier. And now we see, especially in California, we got a lot of other groups that function like ours. Everyone's a little different, you know, but they're able now to do events in a lot of the VFWs in California. So that's, they're starting to jump on board. They really are. It's just, what we found is you just got to go in and not BS anybody. Just be straight up forward, honest with them. And be completely transparent and be like, this is why we do it. It's not what you think. It's not a, like if people just sit around and they smoke or however they take their medicine, and it's not just cannabis. And if you just sit on the couch and drool on yourself and play video games and stuff, then I hate to say it, you're not medicating, you're abusing. So our whole thing is to show like, no, we're doing this, but then we're coming out here and actively looking for healing, actively looking for resources, actively looking for that connection so we can move on, like I said, to a, no one's going to ever be back to where they were before, but you could get pretty damn close, and sometimes you can even become a better person from it. And we just consider the, at least the holistic side, the cannabis side, just to be another tool in that toolbox. And it doesn't work for everybody. Like my wife came and being married, or she's just done, you know what I mean? So it's just like, but CBD worked best for her for pain. And but it just took a whole different world from being kind of focused on that kind of advocacy for cannabis to, nah, this is way bigger than that. This is, that's just a part of what we do, but we're mainly about mental health and just being a support structure for people.
Yeah, man, that's where it's all at, you know, because we can't go through any of this alone. And there's too many guys out there trying to do that very thing, you know, and being socially isolated. And I think that's the number one thing that gets people long term, is trying to do life by themselves. And I get what you're saying. That's why I laughed so hard when you told me you sat in the car for 2 hours before.
Yeah, right.
That sounds like something I would do. You know, admittedly, I'm a huge introvert. You wouldn't guess that because I'm on a damn podcast, but this is a one-on-one kind of scenario, and I already know that you and I are after the same things. We got similar interests, so it's easy. But
right.
Going into a group where you don't know anybody, that's pretty damn hard. And kudos to you for making that jump and doing it, because obviously it worked out pretty well. And I think that's something that we have to remind ourselves all the time, is you have these thoughts in your head, and 9 times out of 10, most of those thoughts aren't good for you, and you need to combat them, right? So like if you have a thought that says, hey, don't go to that meeting, you know, they're going to make fun of you, you're not going to fit in, you're going to feel awkward, you're going to have a bad time, just assume that a lot of times that the opposite of all of that stuff is what's really true.
Like 90% of the time, it usually is, you know?
Yeah, that's something I found out. So yeah, that's great, man. And the more people that go to that and have a good time, you know, the more you can bring other veterans into that, you know, because your network is going to grow. and people are going to start talking about it. And you're doing a lot of good work for a lot of awesome veterans. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, and that's another thing that we kind of based off of. It's a weird kind of area in California with veteran nonprofits and stuff like that, you know. And but the one thing that, we really want people to know is, like, we don't care, like, who you assert, like, we don't care who you get help from. You know what I mean? Like, get help. Reach for something. If we don't have something going on here, especially in, like, it really feels for a lot of the veterans in other states. And it's not just because of the cannabis kind of stuff. And I mean, that sucks too, because that should be an option for anybody, because, you know, everyone has their own opinions on that. But it's just, here in California, we have so many, which I had no idea until recently, over the last couple of years. Every weekend, a veteran could link up with some kind of organization or some kind of group, right? To either go hiking, either to go to a meeting, either just get together and hang out with somebody, or on all that kind of stuff. So, like, the resources are out there, but what we find is not a lot of veterans, and I think it's self brought onto themselves, and it's also just advertising. Not a lot of people know about stuff that goes on. You know, I mean, they have everything for anything you're into. And it's like, I think, as like you said, the isolation parts of it is, we see that and we have that internal voice going on in our heads. And no matter what, if we're already feeling like we don't fit in, or we're already feeling like, I just don't feel like doing anything today, as soon as we hear that negative thought, like you were saying, oh, it's going to be horrible, we're going to jump on that thought. We're going to jump on that thought, and we're going to ride with that thought. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's why, with all this stuff that's out there, if you know about that and you make that first step, I'm telling you, there's so much support structures out there. There's so much stuff for your family. There's so much stuff out there for you, for us, or you or me or anybody, not to have to go through this crap alone. And that's just, like I said, it's changed my perspective. I like to tell everybody I'm a recovering asshole. You know, like, if you looked at me, probably I hit my rock bottom probably about 4 years ago. I've worked for the Department of Defense as a civilian for the last like 20 years. I've deployed to Afghanistan as a civilian. I deployed to Iraq in the Army. And a few years ago, I blew my knee out at work. And government's government, whether it be the VA, Department of Labor, Department of Defense, you know, red tape and all that kind of stuff. So it got to the point where I actually was fighting them over a workers' comp thing, and we lost everything. I have two boys, I have my daughter, and I have my wife. And one day I was literally sitting there at a park where my son played soccer the day before at 9 a.m, digging through trash cans, collecting cans so that we wouldn't lose our, so we could pay rent the next day, or we're going to lose our house. And it just dawned on me at that point, or it was like, all right, well, it can't get any lower than this. It's time to look inward and try to figure out what we can do instead of just settling in and accepting the bullshit that happens to you every day. And it kind of just hit me like a ton of bricks. I mean, I was hooked on pills. You know, a few months ago, I tried running my car at 100 miles per hour into a light, you know, on the way to work. And it was just like, well, what? I said, I can't be the only one. And that's right around that time that's what I was saying earlier, I saw those other veterans on like Instagram. Like I said, I didn't know what Instagram was. And I was just like, well, shit, you're not alone. And that kind of, like I said, when it saved my life, not this, but just other veterans, they saved my life. They may not know it. I try to tell them, but just by being there and showing up, there's other options out there. There's other people out there. There's people that I could contact at 4 a.m. when I was slept in 3 days that get what the heck I'm going through.
Yeah.
It just opened up a whole plethora of just opportunities and stuff to look into, and it's just been, it's hard, it's a lot of work, but it's definitely fulfilling, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's something there for sure. Veterans, just like you said, they get it and nobody else does, because they've lived it. And we're in this together, you know. In the military, you know, you got your battalion and your platoon and your squadron, and or maybe you're in the Navy, and I don't know what you got, but you got something, and it's on a boat. So I'm sorry, I just don't know anything about it.
I don't know either. Sorry, Navy guys. You're on a boat. You're all together on a boat, man.
Right, you got buddies. That's what's important. And You know, when you get out, like, you need to do that, and it doesn't exist. And you definitely hit the nail on the head, because you noticed it didn't exist, and then you went out and you built it. And that's awesome. So congrats.
Thanks. But I sort of real quick, because I didn't build it. A lot of people had a lot to do with it. They may not be with it now, but you know what I mean? But it was an idea based, which grew from a group of guys that really cared. You know what I mean? And it was taken from watching other people that have gone beforehand have like put themselves out there to do it. You know, we kind of look around and see what works and what works for me and try to do that. So anything that we see today for veteran groups out there is people can't just be like, oh, the groups don't belong to individuals, you know, causes and missions don't belong to individuals. They belong to everybody who puts themselves out there and puts in the work, you know? So I just want to make that very clear. Is like, there's so much respect, like you on here doing your podcast, getting information out to people that do blogs, people that run groups, people that just tell another veteran how to go to the VA is all kind of groups all in the one thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. You know, we're all in this together. We got the same cause. It's the same fight and we're all on the same team.
Yeah, definitely.
So how can people get a hold of you if they want to learn more, if they're listening to this and they're in California and they want to join up? Like, what's the best way for people to find out about the coalition?
Yeah, definitely. Right now at the moment, I'm working on the website due to funds. I had to take it down. That should be up probably, I'd say, the next 10 days or so, back up and going. It'll hopefully be interactive. They can find us on Instagram at SoCal Veterans Coalition. That's basically right now how we're handling, you know, letting people know what's going on and stuff like that. Email us at SoCalVeteransCoalition@gmail.com. All we ask is a proof of service. And what that'll do, that'll put us on our roster. So when we send out stuff for events, you'll get an email saying, hey, we got this coming on, this coming up and stuff like that. Those are the two main things. We're on Facebook, but I don't really know how Facebook works that much anymore. So, yeah. But we're all on there on the social media platforms. And if not, just reach out on Instagram or that, and we'll get you the information. We'll put you on the loop. You get a hold of us, we'll get back to you. We're not just about once a month type of things, or just our event type things. In the past, we've had chat separate chat lines or like Google Rooms where we've had up to 60 vets in there at all times. So you can always have someone to reach out to. We've done, like I said, classes. We do stuff where it's like, if people are in your area and they just want to get together, they'll get on there and be like, hey, you know, anybody in the area, I want to go for a hike, or I want to go to the beach, or we just want to get together, families together. We try to link up people like that, try to get them together. So the best way right now is for either through Instagram, or definitely if you send us an email, for sure, I'll reply back to that within a day or so. That's the best way to do it right now.
Awesome, man. Well, I want to thank you for meeting with me today and sharing your story. I mean, you inspired me and you got my wheels turning about my next project and trying to do something similar to that. The podcast is great, and I'm talking to all these people and just trying to find a way to get them all together in person, you know, because like you said, it's communication. Well, you can do that. We're doing that right now, but that's not quite the same as, you know, socialization, which is face to face. And I think that's really the key.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that face-to-face, I mean, this is a great way too, but that face-to-face, I think, kind of breaks down that last barrier of, I don't know, like protection kind of. You're more vulnerable and you're more face-to-face with somebody. And that allows you to open up a little bit easier, or it might not, but at least there'll be other people there to support you if you're going to go through something at that time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's important to build your tribe, you know, your band of brothers. So, hey, man, absolutely. Well, I'm going to let you go, but, you know, I thank you for coming on the show, and I look forward to keeping up with you and seeing how things are going in the future.
Yeah, definitely. I really appreciate you taking the time and to get our story out there and let people know about what's going on, and appreciate what you're doing too. You know, it's so many ways that we can all help each other.
Yeah, no, I thanks for the kind words, man. I really appreciate that. Take care.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate you guys tuning in. I have a big favor to ask of you. If you're listening to the show, and if you like it, and if you thought it provided value to your lives, and if you got something out of it, consider being a donor. I'm not asking this just for me. I've got a job. I don't really need the money, but this helps me offset the cost of podcasting and allows me to bring you guys some of the content you hear. So I do a lot of work for nonprofits. You know, with Andrew, he works out there in Colorado, 3D printing homes. I work with Passageways all the time. I'm bringing you guys awesome interviews from them. I'm trying to do anything I can to benefit the veteran community, and podcasting can be kind of expensive. So if you donate a simple $5 a month, that's all I ask. Everyone's got $5. If you wouldn't mind, go to the show notes, hit the support the show tab, or go to my website, which is www.AmericanHeritagePodcast.com, and you can hit the donate tab there. And that will get you to where you need to go through Stripe to donate your $5 a month. Simply doing that goes a long ways towards helping veterans. I will donate a portion of those proceeds back into various nonprofits, but specifically Passageways, because that's just kind of the thing I'm passionate about. So if you wouldn't mind, once again, www.AmericanHeritagePodcast.com. Hit the donate tab from the homepage. Anything you can give would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.